Good morning. So good to see everybody today. We're glad that you're here for our worship time together. I want to say happy Father's Day to all the fathers out there. Thank you so much for your persistence and your love and your loyalty to your children and to your families. We want to extend our sympathy to the Jordan family as they're grieving now with the sudden, unexpected loss of their daughter, Margaret. The funeral will be at the Smyrna Church of Christ tomorrow, with receiving of friends from 9 to 11, with the funeral to follow at 11. And we certainly want to extend our sympathy to this family during their loss and their grief. I know many of us, on a much lighter note, many of you were present last night for the Riverfest Fellowship. My family was sick and we were unable to be there, but I have already seen Facebook pictures. And I know that you all that had a great time that went, and we're always thankful to the Edwards family for the tremendous work and persistence at always hosting this wonderful fellowship event for the church here. Tonight we continue our fellowship with the summer nights conversations we have downstairs. Our assembly will take place downstairs and we'll have fellowship to follow. And tonight we're asking that if you come, and we encourage you to come to participate in that, everyone bring finger foods to share for that period of fellowship following our discussions tonight. Last week we continued talking about how to connect with God. We've been exploring that for the last 2 weeks. Two weeks ago, we began the series by discussing the issue of, if you're going to really connect with God, you got to make time to be still and know that God is present. And so it's very important to make that time. And in the hustle and bustle of our lives, it is oftentimes very difficult, isn't it, to make that time to be present before God. But once we've made our minds up to have that dedicated time of focus to be still and know God's presence, then before we ever even get to praying and communicating with Him, we've got to meditate. And we explored that last week, the value of meditating on spiritual things, focusing on God, focusing on His Word. And we looked at that from Psalm 1 last time. So now that we've made deliberate effort to be still in God's presence, and as we've prepared ourselves in meditating and centering our minds on connecting with Him, now it's time to connect with God. How did you learn to pray? Maybe it started by hearing a ritual formula kind of prayer. I lay me down to sleep. Or, thank you, Lord, for this day and for everything. God is great. God is good. Let us thank Him for our food. Maybe the way you began to learn to pray was through some formula, some kind of poem-type prayer. I think most of us learn to pray by hearing other people pray. Maybe it was by hearing your dad give thanks before a meal, or maybe it was when you heard men get before the church on Sunday morning and lead prayer to God, and you kind of started to try to imitate what you heard them do in your own prayer life. I don't know how you learn to pray, but we've learned to pray perhaps in lots of different ways. I can't speak for you, but I know for me, when I first started learning to pray was in the form of a young men's training class where the preacher shared with us young boys a very ritualistic and very strict form of leading God's people in prayer. Seemed very removed and stoic, very lofty, but not very close to God. For many of us, maybe we've never really even given any consideration to how to pray. Maybe you've been taught all your life, well, just go and talk to God. Just talk to Him. Just share whatever's on your mind, whatever's on your heart. And for many of us, if that's the way we learn to pray, maybe we've begun to gravitate in our prayers to being very self-centered. Help me, bless me, keep me. Maybe when you really started praying in your life, maybe you started off pretty well, but then you kind of gave it up and you didn't really stay with it because you prayed, but you didn't seem to get what you asked for. Maybe you asked God to heal somebody that was really close to you that was sick, and God didn't seem to answer that prayer. And so you kind of backed off because you didn't know if you could trust God when you prayed to Him. But maybe you were afraid to stop praying because you thought maybe things would get worse if you didn't say some kind of prayer. So you continued to throw a prayer up every once in a while. But you really didn't trust the one to whom you were praying. Some of us treat prayer like a good luck charm, you know, like a four-leaf clover or a rabbit's foot on our keychain. We have to throw prayers up because, you know, after all, I need to try to get God to kind of do something for me, to make my life better, to bless me, to improve my life or make it go the way that I think life ought to go. And so when we think about how to pray and how we've learned to pray, we've all perhaps learned to pray in lots of different ways. I think all struggle to figure out, well, how does prayer work? Why does God answer some prayers that seem rather frivolous? And other prayers that seem to be of great weight, He seems to be silent. We all want to know, don't we? What's the right combination to get God to do something, to get heaven to move, to get make our prayers work for us? I mean, maybe I should have turned the dial to the right instead of to the left. Maybe I should have lived this way instead of that. Or maybe some people will guilt us into thinking the reason that your prayers are not effective, the reason you're not feeling that connection with God is because you just don't have enough faith. You should believe more. You should have more faith. I want to present a challenging thought to all of us. What if prayer has nothing to do with any of that? Here's an even more challenging thought. What if the way that we've always seen prayer modeled for us has been wrong? What if prayer really doesn't have much to do at all about your needs and your desires? I wonder sometimes, what if we have missed it when it comes to prayer? Because after all, when you read about prayer in the Bible, it's powerful. You read about the way prayer is set up, the way prayer is described. You see the prayers that are prayed and the response that comes from heaven. And you read that and our eyes get twinkle-eyed. And we are our imagination runs wild because we see the level to which prayer is elevated. And we wonder sometimes why we don't seem to get that kind of response. Why our prayers aren't like that. You read the way the early church prayed, and the boldness and the courage and the power that flowed through God's people because they believed and practiced a kind of prayer life that I know sometimes mine just pales in comparison. Our annual theme this year is I Am the Church. If we're going to be the church and be the kind of church that they were, Acts chapter 2 tells us that they devoted themselves constantly to prayer. They devoted themselves to it. What if there's more to prayer? What if we've never even begun to touch the hem of the garment of what is at our disposal? Jesus had a powerful and deep prayer life. It was so powerful, in fact, that His followers, His closest disciples, would see Him praying and would be so impressed with the way He connected to the Father that at a certain moment when they watched him praying, he was finished, they immediately came to him and said, "Lord, teach us how to pray. Teach us to pray like that. Teach us to connect like that." Because guess what? We're all good, faithful Jewish boys. We've grown up going to synagogue. We've heard prayers prayed. We've prayed all of our lives. But we've never seen anything like what you just did. It's never been modeled for us. We've never been taught it. How do you do that? And so Jesus sets out to teach them and to teach us how to connect, how to pray. And that's where our text comes in. Matthew chapter 6, beginning at verse number 5, Jesus starts talking about prayer, and he first begins by telling us, here's how you shouldn't pray. Here's how you shouldn't pray. Whenever I suggested at the very outset that maybe you've been praying wrong, maybe I've been praying wrong, do you find that insulting? You might hear those words and say, "How dare you say that? You don't know anything about me. You don't know how I pray. Why do you think I don't pray right? You mean there's a right way to pray and a wrong way to pray? I thought we just talked to God about whatever's on our hearts or whatever's on our minds. You think I need to learn how to pray?" Well, Jesus is talking to very religious, very dedicated Jews who have been praying all their lives. And he essentially says, "You've been praying wrong." Do you realize you can pray your entire life and not really know anything about it? He starts and he says, "When you pray, don't be like the hypocrites. They love to stand and pray in the synagogues, in the church gatherings. They pray these very lofty and grandiose prayers where everybody says, 'Ooh, wow, that was a powerful prayer, wasn't it?'" He says, "You know what? When you pray like that to be seen by others, you've already received your reward. Maybe there's something more to prayer." I think many times when I think about prayer, maybe you're the same way, I have tend to have the thought that for prayer to really work, for me to really connect with God, I need to pray the right words. And I need to pray the right length. I need to make sure my prayer is not too short, but I don't want to really bother God either. It doesn't need to be too long. It needs to be the right length, and I need to use the right words. The importance I have often thought is on what is said. But Jesus shows here that really, prayer, the way he teaches it, he doesn't place the importance on what is said. At least not at first. The importance is not on the words and the length, but rather he begins by saying the importance, if you really want to connect, if you really want to experience what prayer can be, he places the importance on the location of your prayers. You notice this? Don't pray like the hypocrites who stand on the street corner and stand in the synagogue. Location. If you really want to connect, if you really want to learn how to pray, he says, "But when you pray," verse 6, "go into your room and shut the door." Go into your room and close the door. Some translations will say here, "Go into your closet." I think that's the King James Version. New American Standard, I believe, says, "Go into your inner room." Some newer translations will say, "Go into your private place." The word that is translated "room" here in the original text literally means a storehouse or a granary or a treasury. In the time in which Jesus spoke, their homes were not like our homes are. They didn't have lots of rooms with doors that could be locked. In many of their homes, the only room, the interior room, was the only room that would have a door that could be sealed for protection. Many times there were things of value or things of importance, food or treasure that was placed in that room. It was a place of safety. It was a place where what was valuable, in fact, most valuable, was kept. And many times it was in the center of the house. In the very center is the thing that is most important. Jesus says, go there. Go to your private place. Go to a specific place where everything else is tuned out and there's nothing but you and God. If you really want to connect. Now you might say, wait just a minute, I thought you could pray anywhere. Doesn't the Bible say pray without ceasing? Can't I pray when I'm driving down the road? Or can I pray whenever I'm on the lawnmower? Can I pray when I'm doing other things? Sure you can and you should. No question. But Jesus is sharing with us more than just praying all the time, which we should breathe prayer all the time in our lives. If you really want to connect, if you really want to know God, go into your room, close the door, and pray. Now see, this close the door part goes back into our be still and know that I am God part. Because let me just speak to you about my life. My life is so crowded by so many things. There's so many demands placed upon in my life. I've got so many responsibilities. There's so much noise. And as if I didn't need more noise, I encourage more noise into my life. If I ever have any downtime, if there's any quiet moment, I'm checking Facebook. Or I'm looking on the internet, wondering the answer to some question, so I just Google it and I read a Wikipedia article for a while. Close the door, Jesus says. You really want to connect? Go into your room where everything else is shut out. Shut the door and pray. I need to learn this. And maybe you do too. I heard one author this week say on this point that this one verse, Matthew chapter 6, verse 6, this one verse, if we as God's people, if we as individuals would consistently practice, go into your room, close the door, and pray, if we would consistently practice that, it would revolutionize all of our lives. And I think he's right. You know, you can be with somebody but not really be with somebody. I've noticed, man, I've learned a lot along the way and I'm still learning. I think I've learned the most, perhaps, through this thing called marriage. And in marriage, you learn so much about yourself and about relationships and about people and about, in my case, women. And you learn a lot about God in marriage. And I think that's why God gave us marriage. I think the intention of marriage is he's trying to teach us something about him, too. But you know, in my marriage, we can be talking a lot. In everyday conversation, when we're rushing to and fro, we've got to get the kids to the doctor and we've got to make sure food is on the table and, well, you know, who's going to take the kids to school in the morning? And you're doing all of the busy work of life, which has to be done, and you're talking a lot about all that stuff. And you can talk and talk and talk and have lots of conversation, but feel completely disconnected from each other. right? I would ask for a witness, but it's not confession time. But you can talk a lot to a person, to your spouse. You can talk to them a lot and be miles apart emotionally and relationally. There's a big difference between just doing life together and really connecting with each other. And there are some times I know that you know, I can feel that. I can be, it's like I've spent a lot of time, we've done things together, but I feel far from you. Or Michelle may say, you know, I know we were together a lot last week, but I just don't feel connected to you. You see, one, just talking with each other because of the busyness of life, that has to deal with dealing with the chaos of life. The other has to deal with intimacy of connection in relationship. And maybe in your marriage, you feel those times when you feel disconnected and you know we've got to get away. Or we've got to have a date night, or we're going to have to do something where it can just be me and my spouse and we can connect again. Well, marriage is a kind of a mirror, I think, for the kind of relationship that God wants with us. You can talk to God a lot. You can be a very praying person who says a lot of prayers and does your due diligence in a prayer life and still feel miles away and disconnected from God. You know what I'm talking about? I know that feeling all too well. So what does Jesus say? Jesus is saying you can talk to God the rest of your life and not feel connected to Him at all. Sure, you can pray all the time, anywhere, in any way you want to. Do that. Please do. But Jesus says you really want to know God. You really want to connect. Go into your room. Close the door. And pray. And Jesus says, if you do that, your heavenly Father who sees you in secret will reward you. Now, and you say, oh man, that's what I've been waiting for. That's what I've been looking for. You're giving me the code. You're giving me the right sequence of change to put in the vending machine to make sure I get what I want from God, right? You've laid it out. This is what I've been waiting for, preacher. The reward. What do I have to do? Listen, if I have to go in my closet and I have to kneel down beside my shoes and pray, and that's like the guaranteed thing that God will give me what I want, then you know what? That's a little weird, but I'll go for it. Because I want stuff from God. I want God to hear me. I want God to answer my prayers. I want God to reward me. That's not the kind of reward Jesus is talking about here. Now, you say, well, how do you know that? The reason I know that is because of the next verse. Verse 7. And when you pray, do not heap up empty phrases as the Gentiles do, for they think they will be heard for their many words. Do not be like them, verse 8, for your Father knows what you need before you ask Him. Now, focus in on that. God already knows what you need before you ask Him. Now, you know the next question, right? So why pray? If God already knows what I'm going to ask Him before I ask Him, then why do I even have to go to the trouble? Because He already knows. And see, Jesus says that for a reason. First of all, Jesus is emphasizing the fact that if you really want to connect with God, what matters is not the quality or the quantity of your words, the empty phrases, the lots of speaking like the Gentiles do. What matters is the time and the place. Go into your room, close the door, and pray. And then He says, your Father who sees you will reward you. The reward of going into your room, closing the door, and praying is not that God is going to give you what you're asking for. That's not the reward. The reward of going in your room and closing the door is that God sees it. When you deliberately carve out time to do nothing but connect with God, When you shut out all the distractions, you close the door, the reward is not that God is going to grant your request. The reward is in the seeing. God will see you. And as He sees you in that quiet place, alone with Him, you might just catch a glimpse of Him too. It's about connection. It's about knowing the peace of God's presence. It's about feeling close to Him, coming to know Him. God already knows what you need before you ask it. It's not about rushing to ask Him for what you need, the stuff you want. He already knows all of that stuff. Jesus is saying here, prayer is not really about asking for stuff. Now, is there a component of request in prayer? Yes, we'll get there. Give us this day our daily bread. We'll get there. There's a component of that. But basically, Jesus is saying, listen, you want to learn about prayer? You really want to deepen your prayer life? You really want to come to know the power of prayer? You really want to connect with God? Then don't spend a lot of time telling God what He already knows. Now, it's introspection time. Is most of your prayers consumed with telling God things He already knows? Help me, bless me, keep me. You might be sitting there thinking, wait a minute, if I'm not asking God for stuff and I'm praying to Him, then what am I going to say? Because maybe all your life, that's all that you've ever known prayer to be. And again, maybe we've missed something. The most important thing in this world is your personal, intimate relationship with God. Everything else flows from that. Your relationships with other people will not be what they could be if your personal, intimate relationship with God is not right. Your peace in life, your success, your feeling of that you are doing what you were put on this earth to do will not be what it could be if your personal intimate relationship with God is not right. Everything else flows from that. So how do I have a personal, intimate, real connection with God? Go into your room, close the door, and pray. Intimacy with God, connection with God, always happens behind a closed door. And again, we know that in marriage. You know, if you're feeling distant from your spouse, you got to get away and have some what? One-on-one time. Talking about not just life and about the busyness of life and getting through the day, but talking about things of depth, of emotion, of connection. And when you go in your room and you close the door and you pray, God will reward you with a sense of peace that He is with you. And that might mean that God doesn't say yes or no or wait, or it may mean that God says nothing. But it may mean that you feel a connection with Him. You can spend your whole life praying to God and totally miss Him. I wonder sometimes if my whole life of prayer has been spent in a little bitty corner of prayer, a little bitty corner of bless me, help me, keep me, a little bitty corner about my needs, my requests, and out in front of me has been the wide open, beautiful pastures and expanse of unbelievable blessing and peace that prayer can afford my life, and I've never come to know it because I've had my nose in a corner. And maybe God has something bigger in mind for me and for you when it comes to prayer. Because he says, if you really want to connect with me, go into your room, close the door, and pray. You got to get that first. Jesus spends a lot of time on that. And then he'll get into verse number 9. You'll notice we abruptly ended the reading this morning. It may have jarred you a bit. Because Jesus then says, and when you pray, pray like this. Then he starts giving us specifics about how to construct our own personal prayers. But before you ever get to that, go into your room and close the door. We'll pick up there next week. We're exploring what it means to really connect with God. And that's really, I think, what we all want. We want to come to know God. And it's something that we perhaps all need to be taught how to do. And we need to work on personally in our lives. God loved us so much that he sent his beloved and most dear son to this world to give his life voluntarily that you might experience the freedom of grace and forgiveness. In order to connect with God, you've got to come to Jesus. And if we can help you to do that this morning, we would love to assist you in any way. Maybe you're ready to commit to Jesus in repentance and baptism. Maybe you need prayers of encouragement. If we can help you, we encourage you to make your needs known as we stand together and as we sing.